100 word stories.
Good morning. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 word stories podcast, one a day until the day I die.com. Not dead yet, so let's have ourselves a weekly challenge where I post the topic and you come up with the story. We got a whole bunch of stories on the topic of mask, and let me tell you who sent them in. We have Ginger, Jeffrey, Richard, Charlie, Serendipity, Lizzie, John, Tom, Tura, Norval Joe, Leanna's back, and Dwayne. Oh, and Planet Z. Okay, are you ready for the stories? Here we go.
Before Me and Behind Me by John DeCleese. We mask our feelings, we mask our fears, we mask our joys, showing nothing to those around us. Our masks are armor that protects us from the untoward, unrealized threat. But worse than the mask we wear to show to others how little power they have over us is the mask we wear that faces inward, the mask we show unto ourselves, pretending who we want to be, and looking at that mask and believing we are that, and not the shadowy person who lives behind the public mask, the inner mask, the one whose raw nature we fear most. My Salad Days, When I Was Green in Judgment, Cold in Blood, by John DeCleese. A salad is usually made by the chef, but only on rare occasions does the chef actually cook a salad. So on those occasions, is he cooking or not? We could call him a cook, but suppose the cook works in a salad bar. Or how about those occasions when dessert is assembled out of freshly chilled, raw comestibles, like fruit or ice? There is a delightful Philippine dessert made of what I think to be slightly fermented fruits mixed with small chunks of ice. That's not cooking, is it? But we do have it prepared by the cook, no?
Good morning, it's Richard here. Two stories this week. Topic was mask. The first is based on a true story. It's called Fart at a Funeral. It was one of those priceless moments, a real trouser tearer that practically echoed throughout the chapel during the solemn silence. As for the culprit, we never found out. The timing was perfect. The incongruity and inappropriateness, delicious. And my response, all too predictable. I tried to mask it, but the badly disguised smirk on my face was obvious, as were the shoulders of the mourners in front of me, shaking with barely suppressed mirth. With superhuman control, we somehow managed to regain our composure. But it made for an unforgettable send-off, for a somewhat less than memorable acquaintance. And the second story is called The Mask. You see it everywhere. At every protest, every riot, every scene of political unrest. The Guy Fawkes mask, now wholly appropriated as the best-dressed protester's choice for anonymity. It's replaced the balaclava with its overtly paramilitary overtones, whilst the old standby, a scarf covering the face, suggests a lack of preparation and any real dedication to the cause. I can't help wondering what old Guy Fawkes would have made of it. I can imagine him smiling at the thought, although you'd never know it, on account of the Guy Fawkes mask that he always insisted on wearing. There you go. That's my lot. I'll leave you to yours. So until next time, goodbye.
Hello, Night People. Tom here.
And my story this evening is called Return With Us Now to Those Thrilling Days of Yesteryear. It was 1957, and every kid who could talk his parents into springing the coin wanted to be the Lone Ranger for Halloween. Rudy had not only gotten the cool black mask, six-shooter, and silver bullets, he had also convinced his less than enthusiastic little brother Lenny to accompany him as Tonto. For the greater part of the night, they racked in serious sugar cash. But then, a pack of kids dressed as Butch Cavendish's gang fell on them. "We've been in worse straits, Tonto." "What do you mean, we, white man?" said Lenny, exiting stage right. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
He started to wear masks the day he was convicted of pederasty in the small town where he lived. He further disguised himself by gaining 100 pounds and changing his dress style. He disguised his voice by getting a private voice coach. No one ever questioned his mask. He voluntarily revealed the disfigurement he suffered in Paris from an acid attack. He wore a scarf tight to further disguise himself and to heighten the illusion. Unknowingly, the mask was that of Oscar Fingal O'Flattery Wills Wilde. Literati and hipsters put two and two together, so his secret was out. Number two, I couldn't mask the smell by spraying lemon oil. The odor persisted. Someone had upper decked my commode during the party. It was the gardener, recently fired for his poor attitude and his outrageous rates. I invited him because he was a relative. The prank blocked the outflow, and the subsequent eruption caused havoc and an odor that triggered most of the partygoers to leave, dry heaving and retching as they went out the doors. I was never able to prove whom the guilty party was, but from that day on, I made it my duty to upper deck everyone's toilet.
Heidi ho, everyone. Leanna here for another 100-word story challenge. I shall not bore with details of nothing and instead get on to the story. For this week's challenge number 598 for the topic of mask, have the following story titled Under the Layers. Music by bensound.com. "What do you think, Jack?" she asked, flaunting her new look. The mask advertised a fresh new face in just 24 hours, and Sarah couldn't wait for Jack to see what she did for him. Always for him. They hadn't spoken in weeks, but she kept tabs on where and what he did. When the mutual friend's party came up, Sarah arrived smiling with bright whites, tossing her blowout, and batting the eyelashes of her new face. Jack looked with his usual disdain and shook his head. "Sarah, nothing's changed. Your insides are still showing. Go away, you psycho bitch."
Hey, Dwayne here with another 100-word story. And now, mask. The devil was looking over my shoulder. Had been for 10 minutes. Maybe an hour. I was pretty stoned. I didn't want to say anything to anyone. They would just say, "You are so high." So I sat there, hair on end. I decided one more look, then I'd tell someone. I glanced around, and his face shot towards me. I was up across the room with the lights on in one move. My friend stood in the corner with a devil mask, laughing hysterically. I punched him in the chest as hard as I could. then we were cool.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Would you like something to mask the pain? I asked, with genuine concern in my voice. You nodded, through the agony, teeth gritted, eyes wide with pleading. I wanted to be certain that I understood what you were telling me. Are you sure? I said. Yes. You screamed, with all the strength you could muster. Well, that was pretty clear, and to be honest, I was a little surprised, but I wouldn't argue if that's what you wanted. So I hacked off. Your feet too. There you go. That should take your mind off what's left of your hands.
Hi everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week on the prompt mask. Lean forward and read the words, she thought, one after the other, paragraph following paragraph, obediently covering the pages of a blank book. For the others, the pages were blank and had nothing written on them, yet she saw words. One after the other. Strings of paragraphs covering the desert of whiteness. She forgot the ban, and the world became warm. Lean back, she thought. Place the mask back on. No one will see how you can travel away. The book went back on the shelf of empty books, and no one knew she could read. And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you Sunday. Bye-bye.
Hello. This is Philip Norville Joe Carroll's computer again. He almost threw me out the front door in frustration. He really wanted to record this week, since this is the first episode of his 10th consecutive year on the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. He's having a bad day. Here is his story. The security guard strode down the passage. Axel looked anywhere beside the advancing officer, hoping to mask his overwhelming anxiety. His worst fears were realized when the man stopped in front of him. You're in a controlled sector. Why are you here? The guard asked. I'm waiting for someone. And this isn't a controlled sector, or I couldn't have walked into this passage, Axel countered, feigning bravado. His act didn't work. The guard suddenly had him in a chokehold, dragging him toward the link. You're here to make a drug deal, and I'm going to find out for whom. Thanks for listening. If I survive, we'll see you next week.
Tourer Zoino here, back after having missed a week, with a story of masked superheroes. The Red Flash and the Accountant faced each other. The Accountant whipped off his mask. No mere accountant I, he said. Behold, Magnetron. Not so fast, Magnetron, said the Red Flash, for I am... He whipped off his mask. X-ray. I see beneath your mask. Curses. But your X-rays are powerless against... Magnetron whipped off his mask. Galaxian. But I am really, said X-ray, whipping off his mask, Mr. Neutrino. Nothing deflects me. But I am, said Galaxian, whipping off his mask, Nigel Weems, accountant. Your neutrinos are a mere accounting error. Nigel awoke, sighed, and returned to his desk.
Good indeterminate time of day, podcast listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 598 on the topic of mask. My story today is called What the Eye Don't See. My boss chewed me out because I was late. I tried to look contrite. He chewed me out again when he read my report. Not up to standards, he said. I smiled wanly and said I would rewrite it. Surely it would be better with his comments. At the staff meeting, the section chief commended the group for their efforts over the past year, and those who made the company proud would be honored at this afternoon's company-wide awards ceremony, though he noted that some weren't pulling their weight. He stared directly at me while making that last point. I kept my mask on. At lunch, I went to the garage, found my car, popped the trunk, and took out the guns stored there. Screw the mask I had kept for many years. Today I had my own way of rewarding the company's overachievers. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Hello, happy readings. This is Ginger. Belinda was a masked individual. Her face had been traumatically altered in an accident when she was young. Surgeons had attempted facial reconstruction at that time with little success. As an adult, Belinda held various backroom jobs in stores as well as in restaurant kitchens. She could not work in view of the public for fear that the scars would scare patrons. She failed to ensure advancement in office jobs because of an overriding fear on the part of her employers that the face of trauma might intimidate female co-workers. She maintained routine visits with a plastic surgeon. In time, the appearance of scarring no longer shocked the world. In time, she began to feel less guilt for being a monster.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Halloween was right around the corner. Every year, Freddy trick-or-treated as a ghost, and his mother would take away his candy because he ruined a sheet. Once again, he waited too long. The stores were out of costumes. Even those crappy plastic smocks with the lame cardboard masks with elastic bands. Freddy sighed, grabbed a sheet from the linen closet, and cut out two holes. But this time, he'd take two candy bags. One to stash the good stuff in a tree, and one to hand over when he got home. Sadly, Freddy stashed the wrong bag in the tree.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of mask. Did you enjoy that? I enjoyed it, and you should leave a comment at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com letting everyone know how much you enjoyed. Yay! Alright, I don't know what else to say. The next topic is hospital, and I don't know, stories all week, and Halloween, and this and that, and there you go. I don't have any advertisers. I don't want any advertisers. All that crap about podcast. You know, we just get right into it. It's not like 10 minutes of bullshit like you hear on all those commercial podcasts. No, we keep it straight. All the story, all the time. Except for this ramble. Thank you for listening and being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.